KSMRadio.com.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. President Biden shoots down a Republican infrastructure plan which increased spending by about $50 billion over their previous offer. Reuters reports Republicans previously offered roughly $257 billion in new spending, short of the more than $2 trillion Biden initially demanded. The president suggests he could scale his plan down to a $1 trillion price tag. Former President Trump says the decision to keep him off Facebook is an insult. Trump blasted the ruling, which means he will not be allowed on the social media platform until 2023. Trump says Facebook should not be allowed to get away with censoring and silencing. Trump insists the 2020 presidential election was rigged. One of the nation's largest investment banks will not donate to Republicans who contested last year's presidential election.
Reuters says JPMorgan Chase revealed that decision in an internal memo. The report says JPMorgan's decision will apply financial support in the past. It comes 50 members of Congress who had enjoyed financial support in the past. It comes as the company will begin making donations again after a pause was instituted following the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Members of a Delta flight crew stop an attempted hijacking.
The passenger tried to enter the cockpit of Delta Flight 386 when the plane was en route to Nashville from Los Angeles. Video uploaded to the TV station website shows the suspect was zip-tied. The station says the crew thwarted the hijacking attempt. The plane was diverted to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where the FBI was there to welcome the flight. I'm Bill Trefiro.
A federal judge tosses out California's ban on assault-style weapons, saying it prevents Californians from owning weapons commonly available in other states. I'm Cameron Fairchild, NBC News Radio.
Happy Saturday. As far as your weekend forecast is concerned, we're expecting to heat up quick. Expect daytime highs in the mid to upper 90s for both Saturday and Sunday. As far as that cloud cover is concerned, we're going to clear on out. Sunny skies expected for this afternoon, as well as a slight chance of those afternoon and overnight showers. Just keep in mind, you can always visit our website at any time for the latest forecast updates, cbs4local.com.
Have you been putting off life insurance for a while? With the long application process, medical exams, and blood tests, it's no wonder you put it off. It can seem so confusing, expensive, and time-consuming. But Ethos is a new way to buy life insurance. Ethos is built with you in mind. Instead of a medical exam, you only have to answer a few health questions. Our application is 100% online and can be done in about 10 minutes. You might even get same-day coverage. At Ethos, we match you with the right policy and the right price from top-rated carriers, with no medical exams and no blood tests. Now you can spend less time sorting through confusing paperwork and more time with the loved ones you want to protect. Go to ethoslife.com today to apply in minutes. That's ethoslife.com. Ethos Technologies, Inc. operates in some states as Ethos Life Insurance Services. Not available in all states.
iHeartRadio Earth is here with little tips for a healthier planet. Globally, about 1,000 plants we depend on for food and products need to be pollinated, including coffee, melons, chocolate, almonds, and even tequila. Help stabilize the declining honeybee population by planting native plants that they rely on for food, habitat, and nesting. Brought to you by iHeartRadio Earth and the National Environmental Education Foundation. To find more tips for smarter, sustainable living, or to take action in your own community, go to iHeartRadio.com/earth.
Comfort Keepers Las Cruces is now hiring. Call 575-521-4400.
For more information about contests on this station, go to KTSMRadio.com/rules.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. and by State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, you found us. We're the show on history in El Paso here. Today, we're talking about early El Paso history today. How about them apples?
Very early, yeah.
June 6th is how we started this day. You think we'll end it up that way?
I hope so.
Oh, good morning, Melissa. How's the world of Melissa doing?
The world of Melissa's
Yeah, who knows? Hey, we did.
I was at Facebook. You want me to pay attention to the show?
I guess. it's an option, I suppose. But anyway, we got the 690 AM thing going on here, and we do the Facebook pages live streaming. Mr. Andrew J. in there has got that cooked up, and we're on a Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When, as well as the El Paso History Radio Show. And we're the people who say, Texas history begins in El Paso. Okay. You know, if the city took that slogan up and pushed it out there, we would have a lot of tourists.
I mean, it's one they could use. I mean, they could throw it in their bag of tricks, which, never mind. So,
what's new with you?
What I want to do is remind everybody also that if they're not, you know, really computer savvy, they can also listen to us audio streaming live on the internet, on KTSM Radio 690 AM locally in El Paso. Or if you are internet savvy, you can go to ktsmradio.com where you click on the iHeartRadio link and you can take us anywhere you go or listen to us anywhere you're at.
Got the cowboy in the corner today.
Yes, we do.
There he is. He's Bernie Sargent. Hey, Bernie, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Welcome here. I'm good.
Good.
You been a cowboy today?
Hawaiian cowboy, so to speak.
Who? What kind?
Hawaiian cowboy.
Hawaiian?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the cowboy. Hawaiian cowboy right now.
Well, you know, the history here, El Paso, you could probably be whatever you wanted, but you can show up here and be a cowboy if you want to, because, I mean, they have cowboys.
Yeah. That'd be a paniola, I think is the
paniola,
term.
That's what it is.
Paniola.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Hawaiian cowboy.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're the ones, yeah.
So they had some of the largest cattle ranches in the world at one time.
That got something to do with pineapples? No.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Paniapiola? No.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we'll go there.
Well, the thing about today is we do regular talks on history, and the thing about, we call it usually A to Z, and I think that should be like Zaragoza on the Z end. Anthony would be A. So A to Z pretty much covers El Paso County. But in the meantime, we've got other things in between.
Yes.
So you and I were talking about a whole list of about 40 different pictures, and it was 1930 on the ending of it, and basically the Civil War at the beginning, I think.
Yeah, we kind of started in the 1860s.
Somewhere back in there. Well, let's go back and take a look at some of that stuff here. Andrew, did you find that trolley picture by any chance? Because, you know, El Paso has been always an interesting place, but it wasn't always El Paso. A lot of it was just desert, nobody home, because El Paso was the city to the south of the river. Mm-hmm. And if you've heard this before, then good for you. But if you haven't heard it, then you probably went to public schools here, because they don't teach you a lot of stuff here. I mean, something as basic as that. I mean, here's the old bridge. And it got a trolley car on it. There it is, sure enough. And the Franklin Mountains behind it. And this basically was an added thing after, what time did El Paso on the north side start becoming something? 1850s, 60s?
1881, when the railroad came in, is when it really started to boom here.
But, I mean, you had Ponce de León's ranch at 1825.
Yeah, 22, 23, 24 time frame, and then got flooded out. I think it was 1827 through 1829. He was developing his ranch to where San Jacinto Plaza is, as well as the Anson Levin building and the new Hilton Plaza, or I should say Pioneer.
And that's where, in the Duranguito area, you had an influx of Indians hanging around doing stuff.
Yeah. If you go back further, that was an Apache village. And they had settled there from time to time, and they had an agreement with the Mexican leadership that if they would help the Apaches with food and supplies, that they wouldn't cause any problems for the locals. And they kept to that deal. The concern got is when the Apaches would disappear. As time found out, they were actually going and hunting on their own, which is, that's part of their mantra. That's what they do. And so they would show up back in El Paso area again, and everybody would go, whoop, they're back.
Where they been? Where they been?
Yeah.
And I guess deer hunting was a biggie.
Yes.
That would have been what they mostly hunted to eat.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the interesting era back then. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got other pictures here to talk about. We had the post office at El Paso that was established. What was it, 1850-something?
Yeah.
In the early 1850s?
Yeah.
And that picture is somewhere around here. 48, okay. The thing about the Texas forts also, we covered quite a bit of the forts with John Hamilton a couple of weeks ago. And fascinating stuff.
Yeah, you did.
It really was.
Oh, he's good. He's good at that.
He barely touched on, you know, all the forts out there.
Well, yeah. But the thing, he picked a few he wanted to talk about, so we did. But there's, he said there are like about 30 of them that you can name all out there. And, the,
and that's just in Texas.
Oh, yeah. And then you, when you get to New Mexico, there's a bunch more. And, and the reason we had the forts, he mentioned that last week, but I think it was last week. He had the idea is that the forts were there to protect the settlers as they were attempting to go find gold in California.
That was, yeah.
Is that about right?
Protecting them not only from the natives, but also from Mexican marauders.
These bandits.
Yeah, banditos.
Plain old bandits.
Yeah.
Well, we also had Fort Bliss at Concordia. That would be 17AA there on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Fort Bliss at Concordia didn't last very long, apparently.
No, they had a little bit of a problem there in that the river would flood and it would wash out their places. And they actually left there for a short period of time. And when they came back, there's no way they could use it. And that's when they started to orchestrate the Hart's Mill deal.
Well, the one at Concordia, was that basically under what is...
In that proximity, yes.
So they had that whole fort there, and then the river came up that far.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, at times, I was reading in some articles, at times the river could be as wide as a mile to a mile and a half throughout the valley. It's kind of mind-boggling when you look at it now, and sometimes you have water and sometimes you don't.
Yeah, like they turned it on this week.
Yeah.
They flipped the switch. And
they got a spigot upstream.
Everybody goes out and takes their little video camera and say, oh, look, I see water coming.
Yeah.
That must be the Rio Grande turned back on.
Yeah.
But the thing back then, it was it flooded when it felt like it, so that just depended on the snows in Colorado, and yee-haw, here we come.
Yeah, we mapped out the three major routes that the river took through downtown El Paso on a map that I've got that I can share with the audience if they want to see that sometimes.
What generally, where were they? They all came through Hart's Mill.
Yeah, they did. That well, that little area right there was perfect because it controlled the flow. But once it got around the bend, it just took off where it wanted to go. And if you look at some of the old maps of the acequias, the irrigation canals, the one furthest north going through the river, through the city, that was one of the channels that the river followed.
That was up near the plaza.
Yeah,
wasn't
absolutely,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the river has made a lot of inroads in the whole area here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious what it would look like to see that back in the day. And to get the best look of that potential, you go down to Rio Bosque. And Rio Bosque is about 300 acres. John Sprouse, to be credited, he's a UTEP professor guy. And he talked them into making a thing happen for UTEP to have a park down there. Mm-hmm. He talked to water people and giving them water so their ducks have something to do. And the thing is, it turned back into what was the Bosque.
It did.
And, you know, you walk around there and there's places to walk, but there's also a whole lot of water just sitting around.
Yeah.
And that's how all of El Paso was and all of Juarez was once upon a time, right?
Well, the Bosque was a popular place for people to hide out, too. You know, you look at the Franklin Mountains and Smuggler's Gap, which is now where Trans Mountain is. People would steal cattle on the east side of the mountain, take it over the mountain to the west side, and then they would hide out in the Bosque.
And they go right down a canyon behind my house.
Yeah.
They did.
Did you ever see them?
No, they're long gone.
Oh.
But once upon
your metal detector, I'd be amazing.
You know, I would
find.
Think there would be stuff on that trail.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
So that's another potential there. But the thing about the El Paso area and the history, the geography does sort of like push what happens here.
Sure.
You got to start with the river.
Well, you go generations back, I mean, millions of years back, this actually, the river was a separation between the eastern continent and the western continent of North America, and eventually just grew together. And so we actually were living on the east side of the United States if they hadn't changed directions. And there was a giant sea, for lack of other terms, an ocean in this area.
And it went way up north, didn't it?
It did.
So, I mean, you're talking ancient times.
Yeah, yeah. That
yeah,
was before I was born.
Yeah, and then we get down to some of the evidences that are still left is like at Crystal Ray.
Yeah.
You see some of the old seabed now propped up on the side of a wall because when Crystal Ray popped up, it pushed all that out. We'll get to that in a minute maybe. But the thing about the history to talk about, the forts and the areas out here, that went with the politics of the Indians and the politics of the gold people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's all kinds of stories to talk about there. But Fort Bliss at McGoffinsville, that was before Concordia, then Concordia,
Concordia
went over to Hart's Mill.
Correct.
Hart's Mill.
Lenoria Mesa.
The Lenoria Mesa where they are now. And in Hart's Mill, the federal government allowed the railroads to do whatever they wanted. And the railroads decided to put their tracks right through the parade grounds of Fort Bliss at Hart's Mill.
It's kind of hard to step over those tracks.
And the Army couldn't move them.
No.
Well, I guess they could have shot them, but that's not the way they wanted to do things.
But at that time, that was the only place that was really convenient for them to run the railroad, too, because you couldn't go up further because of all the rock. Because you know where I-10 is now?
So move your dadgum army base. Yes.
I think that perhaps the folks on the East Coast that control everything that takes place in this wonderful country we have just looked at it and said, well, you know, you got railroad tracks coming through there. You can replenish your supplies, all that. But it was a pain in the backside.
Well, they parked the trains there and cut the grounds in half, and people couldn't get across the army grounds for hours.
Yeah.
It's hard to parade.
And that happened also in downtown El Paso starting right thereafter.
Yeah.
Because it took them 60 years to sink the tracks in the underground in downtown El Paso. And in the meantime, constantly there were people just stopped in the middle of nowhere waiting to get across the tracks for a train. And just as soon as you get across one track, here comes another train on another track.
Sort of like Yandel in Missouri, that area?
Somewhere. Today? Well, actually, just north of Yandel. No,
I mean, today you still have to sit and wait for a train to go by sometimes.
That's true, but there's not that much of it.
No,
it seems.
Not like it was.
Because the ones on that go north on the east side of the mountain, that one up near Route 54, that line does seem to block downtown a little bit. But the rest of them, they've got them figured out.
Yeah, it's not too shabby.
But the railroads made a huge difference in the history of El Paso.
Absolutely, it did.
So that was one of the major big things that occurred. Offshoots out of that would it be the Chinese people. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the railroad workers are let go, and they got no place to go.
That's true.
I was reading something this morning where they didn't allow women, Chinese women, in the country at all.
That's true.
And there may have been like four of them total.
It was a Chinese Exclusionary Act, 1882.
Four of them total in downtown El Paso.
Yeah, it was amazing. In fact, California drove that law. They were primarily responsible for the Exclusionary Act because they were so concerned about the Chinese population, mainly in San Francisco. It was overwhelming for them. And
isn't it amazing how the perception of what was right or wrong has changed so much?
Because
back then, Chinese were bad news, and here we are again.
Well, yeah, they were taking jobs other people didn't want. Sound familiar, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. But the trains were a biggie. Like I say, an offshoot was the Chinese.
No, we had the stagecoach coming through here. That was a really big deal, and that helped a lot.
Well, that was 1859?
58 through 61. 61. That's when the Butterfield came through.
And then after that, the Civil War just kind of stopped the whole thing.
Well, it became more of a, what would you call it, franchise, where people would buy stagecoach stops. And they would service the coaches that way, and they would earn a little bit of money from whoever owned the coaches at the time driving on those trails.
Make it a few bucks that way.
Yeah.
Interesting history there. Well, we talk El Paso history all the time here. And let's take a break here and see how life goes on the other side of the break. We do have people looking at us on Facebook, Melissa.
Yes, we do. I've been responding pretty much everybody this morning. We've got Beattie Burdett's out there. We've got Linda Hart, Goggins. We have Victor Lucian. Victor Guzman had a question. He said he's seen old maps and read about the Battle of Brazito, and he wants to know, at one point, do you think the Rio was flowing near the town of Anthony?
Well, quite often.
I mean, Anthony was a Bosque.
Well, yeah, but I think part of it, they also think it's on the hill now compared to where it was.
Define near.
Yeah. Well, Brazito, that was the arm of the river. And that's what defined that particular battle. And it was all along the Rio Grande River where it would branch off and eventually just dried up.
We should get some more old maps to look at them.
I could have confused him. Said New Mexico or Texas?
I think it was all
New Mexico. There you go.
Well, back then, what was it?
It wasn't Anthony.
Vado, no. But Vado was
Vado. Vado predated Anthony, yeah.
Well, New Mexico didn't happen as a state till 1912. So whatever that was. Huh. All right. Call us if you need to. We're going to take a break here.
Give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more.
The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/ElPasoHistoryTV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
I lost 46 pounds in 8 weeks with the help of Andrew 400, having tons of energy, not feeling tired or feeling at the end of the day that my feet are dragging. I would very strongly recommend it to anybody that need to cut down on their weight or who doesn't have enough energy. Absolutely.
That's fantastic, Joe. And congratulations on losing 46 pounds in 8 weeks with the help of Andro 400. Guys, check out Joe's before and after pictures on andro400.com. Since 2004, men have chosen Andro 400 for one reason: results. Andro 400 can help you safely and effectively lose belly fat, gain energy, and boost your testosterone. We guarantee it. Order today and get free shipping and special discounts available only on andro400.com. andro400.com. That's andro400.com.
I'm Larry Gelwix, the Getaway Guru. Join me on The Travel Show every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. right here on News Radio 690 KTSM. And I'll tell you where to go and how to get there.
It's all about the nose. It's your air filter, the first line of defense against bacteria and viruses. If too many germs get stuck in your nose, guess what? You get sick. That's why it's so important to keep your nose clean, just like washing your hands. Nasal irrigation gets rid of germs by rinsing the nasal cavity, but neti pots are hard to use and, frankly, kind of gross. Now there's a better way to keep your nose clean and help your body protect itself. It's called Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, bacteria, and viruses. Millions use Navage for fast, all-natural relief from sinus congestion and allergies, and to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier without drugs. Navage is easy to use, affordable, and comes with an absolute guarantee of satisfaction. You wash your hands and brush your teeth every day. Now it's time to start cleaning your nose with Navage. At Navage.com, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, Target, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Pecans may look like a mild-mannered snack, but inside hides nutritional superpowers that make them pretty heroic. And trust us when we say you'll marvel at their flavor. America's original super nut is your lifestyle's super snack. Learn more about their superpowers at AmericanPecan.com.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Did you know you can send an email to this radio show right now?
No, really?
Yeah, you can. Cool. It's ephistory690@gmail.com. I'm looking at it right now. Send us a note if you wish to do so. Or you can comment there on the Facebook page. The idea of El Paso history to me is fascinating, but I grew up here as a kid. I went through all the schools. I got out knowing nothing about the history of El Paso, which is really a shame. And so now I've gone back and revisited, and when I moved, I left town for 27 years, came back. When I came back, I figured there would be a lot of TV shows doing history. There were none.
Yeah, it's like, what?
And, you know, mainly why it wasn't for lack of material. El Paso is very rich in history. It's a lack of people with money because nobody wants to produce those TV shows for free. I did a few.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Well, and try to sell the videos afterwards. And my wife had a real job. That's how this worked. So that was our contribution to El Paso and what have you done for me lately. Mm-hmm. I spent 20-some-odd years doing that. And we basically paid the phone bill with the DVDs we sold. Didn't put the kid through college, did I? No.
Yeah.
I scared him one day. I said, see this lottery ticket?
Yeah.
This is how I'm funding your college education. He looked at me like, what?
We did the same thing in our girls in high school. We said, guess what? We're starting a business. You're going, we're not, there goes your college fund.
Oh, like, goodness.
That they got through school. And
somehow
that
all managed.
They're doing well.
Well, we got Bernie Sargent sitting here. You've seen a lot of El Paso history, but you showed up. You didn't know much about what happened here.
I had no clue.
I mean, you've been 20, 30 years. How long have you guys been here?
33.
So you showed up. You're California types. Mm-hmm. You're dipped in issues in Arizona, mm-hmm. and you dragged yourself over here to be a border somebody.
Yeah.
And then when you get here, you look around and say, look at all this history.
Well, the whole thing started with the Keystone effort. And we actually predated Keystone. I had no idea that was even there. We're just not really excited about a railroad switching yard going on just a few blocks from our house. And that's what the intent was with the railroad.
So you heard that. You got involved. You went over. You looked at it and said, oh, there's history under the desert here. A 5,000-year-old village, well, give or take.
Actually, it was kind of stumbled onto it more than anything else. It was we didn't want the railroad
switching yard
yeah. there, and mm-hmm. that's where it all came from. Yeah. That
well, a few years later, you know, it's sitting dormant, nothing happening to it. Someone bought that land and was going to develop it, and I had a professor, a retired professor from UTEP, approach me about the property and what was going to be taking place there at the archaeological site, and I went, what archaeological site?
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of how this whole idea fomented. And then we found out a year later there was a middle archaic wetlands there. What? Wow, really? What's that all about?
Well, you know,
it's archaic.
Oh. El Paso seems to just ignore its history and not worry about it.
Well, they owned a piece of property there that was protected by the state of Texas from anything being developed on it because of its archaeological significance. And they argued with me for 6 months. They knew nothing about it. They didn't own it. Yes, they did. They just had no idea.
Well, you're talking about 4 acres.
Yeah.
That actually was an archaeological location mm-hmm. created and administered originally by UTEP.
When it was discovered, the Fired Crack rocks were discovered, they figured that was a little bit too organized just to be sitting there in the middle of the desert. And so they invited UTEP to go over and look at it, and indeed they found out there was maybe as many as 40 penthouses there.
Well, there was a flood that cut the bank of the arroyo. Right?
Yeah.
And they could see the pit houses in the bank.
Well, they could see the Firecrock Rock. Some portions of the floors of the pit houses might have been visible, yeah.
Yeah.
But the bulk of them were anywhere from 3 feet to 9 feet underground.
And that's only because they were building the dam that they even found that, right?
Yeah, that's the whole idea. They got those two major arroyos coming down off the mountain that when it does rain hard, and it does occasionally, it would flood the valley.
Right.
And so the Army Corps of Engineers said, we've got to do something about that. So they came up with the idea of the Keystone Dam. That was the keystone of the flood plan. It was, you know, their whole plan. And
the keystone in an arch is the last one you place in the top of the
correct.
Arch that creates the arch effect and lets it stay up.
Correct.
So this was a keystone dam to put like a plug in a mountain drainage
yeah.
to stop all that. So that was why the Army called it that.
Yeah.
But when they got there, they realized, okay, there's a village here. Now what do we do?
In fact, the guy that found it was not even part of that team. He just knew what was going to be taking place, and he was just meandering through that area and went, no, this looks like a little organization here. So he contacted the Corps, and the Corps contacted UTEP.
And that basically is the procedure.
Yeah.
Because there's a designated archaeological entity somewhere on every piece of the property, right?
Yeah, and one of the things also it's an issue is that the railroad yard came in and backfilled all that land. So who knows what's underneath
mm-hmm.
all that fill that they put in there. I mean, it was terrible fill with concrete and rocks and all kinds of things.
Well, you'll never know, right?
No.
Well, unless we ever got somebody we could get to it.
A bazillionaire who wanted to dig it up.
Dig it up. But, so you wonder how much is lost underneath that. And that's what happens in a lot of places. That's what we were talking about, preservation, like in downtown with Doringuito and trying to find the original sites for, you know, Ponce's ranch. And such because it's underneath layers, either under layers of mud from the river or from building.
And El Paso is just full of history everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everywhere.
And that's what we need to capitalize on. And I think, frankly, it's a matter of understanding what it is and promoting it, and you'll see people come want to take a look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's all kinds of stuff that has yet to be found in El Paso. There's all kinds of stuff that has yet to be found in the attics of people who have old papers.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Mark Cowan here a few weeks ago with the
Weber papers.
Corbin.
Yeah.
And
Corbin, yeah.
Papers that they found, and the guy took copious notes.
Yeah.
And instead of just wasting them, throwing them out the door, somebody kept them and turned them into that organization who really wanted to see all that.
Yeah, could I throw something out there real quick? I'm working with a couple of people right now. We're trying to resurrect the Arroyo by the old Fort Bliss William Beaumont Hospital, you know, the single-story or double-story buildings that they had there at one time.
Yeah.
And there was an Englishman who called El Paso his home for many years. And for over 30 years, he was the gardener that developed the park, the Arroyo, and planted cactus and all kinds of things in there. And it became sort of, this before we knew what PTSD was, but people would go there just to relax and take it easy, you know, especially after World War II and so on. So we're looking for pictures, of any if anybody has them, of that Arroyo and those buildings, if they've got them in their archives, in their attics, as you mentioned. We'd certainly like to have them. They can contact me at by email at BernieSargent@att.net or call me at 581-7920.
And I did post
and you're on
that.
Facebook.
Yeah, and I posted that picture on Facebook, too, and shared it over to the History Alliance page also. Yeah. So hopefully
somebody's got pictures in a box
they
somewhere.
They pop up all the time.
It's amazing how that works. Yeah. I mean, to look at the Casasola pictures that were found in the bottom of a basement.
Mm-hmm.
The demo crew was coming through, and a guy said, "What's all these boxes?" And he goes and kicks them, and they're glass plates for photographs.
Yeah.
And so he managed to get those into the hands of UTEP. But, I mean, that they were just going to be bulldozed.
Yeah. But, and I think the exciting thing about it is a lot of these people are beginning to pay attention to these things. And rather than just trashing them, they're reaching out to people like us and saying, you know, can you use these? Do you know where we can put them?
Okay, the lady with the book last week on the radio show, she had a book of Fort Quitman.
Yeah.
Did you get her? You got her contact information?
Yes, I did.
See how that book turns out.
Yeah.
Let's take a break anyway. Look at Facebook. What do you got over there?
Oh, I'm just switching pages here, going back and forth. Juan Concepcion's listening. Let's see. Who else have we got? Oh, my gosh. We got so many replies to everybody on questions here this morning. Chris Martin. Hey, he's a fireman. Let's see. Who else have we got here? Oh, my God. I got all kinds of people. I can't. Jamie Coppinger. She's on there this morning. Jesus Chuy Martinez. He says, buenos dias. So we're talking multiple language. Dale Hansen in Shirts, Texas. Hi, Dale. Mm. So we got quite a... Oh, Angie just checked in, too. Good morning, Angie. She's in Colorado. So
you're late, Angie. Where you been?
Yeah, where... where's the coffee, Angie?
We're just kidding.
Her last name's O'Graham.
No, Angie O'Graham. No, it is not, Bernie Sargent. We'll see you in a minute here. Shall we take a break? Let's
yes,
do that.
Shall.
3, 2, 1, Andrew, go.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Prescription products require completion of an online consultation with an independent healthcare provider and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. See website for more details and safety information.
Should Viagra really cost $90 per pill? We don't think so. RexMD has FDA-approved generic Viagra medication of that little blue pill starting at just $2. Why pay huge pharmacy prices when you can get the same results for a fraction of the cost? Give your bank account a break. Just fill out a brief survey, and if appropriate, you'll get a starter pack prescription of industry-leading generic Viagra medication. Just call 800-426-9561. We've helped over 100,000 men with their sex lives and with getting prescription medications direct. Your consultation is free, there's no doctor office visits, and your shipping is always free. Get your starter pack now. Call 800-426-9561. That's 800-426-9561. Again, 800-426-9561.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let VCI Bath and Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective VCI Bath and Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-716-9085 for a free no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-716-9085. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-716-9085.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Told you about the email, ephistory690@gmail.com. Forgot to tell you about the YouTube channel. We got a bunch of stuff over there. Bernie Sargent's one of them. And Bernie, you and I did, 20 different 3-minute pieces on ABC7. They said that's a little too long for our normal newscast. Cut them in half. So we aired one half at 6 p.m. or 5, and the other half at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually worked out. I put them back together on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube, that channel on YouTube called El Paso History TV, and take a look at those. Also, the DVDs I made for 20 years, they're on there. And there you can learn a whole lot of stuff by looking at those things.
So whenever somebody asks me to give a presentation, I usually go back and reread or re-listen to those things just to brush up on
it. Well, you and I did a lot of work to make sure that happened, and finally we got the drone going.
Yeah.
So they started looking pretty good after a while. So
anyways, drones are cool.
Jim, one other thing to let you know, the Pink Store, that's where Mr. Tolbert's going to go. He's going to go to the Pink Store on June the 12th, and that's a celebration of our mountains. June the 19th, Agari Springs Pine Tree Trail. June 26th, BLM's Hummingbird Photography Workshop, and a bunch of more stuff. Get a hold of Jim. He is at diegotalbert@gmail.com or 525-7364. Celebration of Our Mountains online. They go neat places and do neat stuff. So there, your turn.
Well, the Tom Lee Institute founder Adair Margo and the In Situ Architectural Principal Edgar Lopez are offering a guided tour of some of El Paso's wonderful architecture they've got downtown, and it's focusing on Henry Troost and Mabel Welch buildings. So travel the world in architecture, Wednesday, June 16th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and space is limited, and you must RSVP to tomlee.com/events, or for more information, call 915-533-0048.
Apparently, Mabel Welch did two buildings in downtown. Maybe, I don't know if they're houses or buildings. Do you know, Bernie?
They're buildings.
They're
businesses.
For businesses? Okay.
Yeah, just business.
Well, the rest of her stuff was residential out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And Henry did kind of the opposite. He did a whole bunch of buildings downtown and some residential places.
Yeah.
He built his own up there in Sunset Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And he built a really cool house on Trowbridge. I dated the girl that lived there, which is how I know about the house.
Oh.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have thought much about it. Like, it's a big old house.
And I'll bet when you were dating her and said it was designed by Troost, you went, what?
I had no idea. Well, they didn't know it either.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a slew of them. And that's a good term for architecture.
Slew?
Slew. On Mesa. A lot of homes on Mesa.
Well, what, like the Zach White House?
That's one.
Troost did that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense, the grandeur of it all.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, there's a lot of places. Now, one that he did not design was the McGoffin home. Now,
correct.
The McGoffin home was kind of designed on the back of a napkin, I think. Because, I mean, it was kludged together. They had one little one-room place. Mm-hmm. Then they added two more rooms to it. Then they divided a room. Then they made it. That was a three-banger. And they lived in there for a while.
As the family grew.
And as they grew, they added another whole wing in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And he became mayor and all these other things. And so they filled in all the places. And I guess he got more prosperous as well. I mean, the MacGuffins were selling a lot of stuff to a lot of people. They were merchants and traders, and they would bring stuff down the Chihuahua Trail, basically,
mm-hmm.
or the Santa Fe
to Chihuahua, yeah.
Yeah.
In the 1820s.
So what about that house? The three of us were there one night.
We spent one night. We were there like 13 hours.
Oh, my God. That was a crazy night. Yeah. We did a reenactment of a dinner that they did
the
there.
The engagement celebration.
Oh, my God. Back when it was a state park, mm-hmm. the rules were a little bit different back then.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring food into the house anymore and spread it all over the table.
Well, you can't spread the table out hardly either.
The table doesn't come up much either.
No.
But that's a fascinating table.
It is.
And you ought to go see the old video, if nothing else. Forget the guy with the beard. I mean, that's crazy. But the whole thing where they laid out, the table's in the dining room right now.
Yeah.
And they leave it there with like one leaf or two leaves. It'll take 12 leaves, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when that happens, man, this table just gets long. It fills that entire house from one side to the other. And then they found chairs somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we did a reenactment of the dinner. They found the menu.
Yeah, we actually replicated the menu.
7-course menu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we talked somebody into cooking,
mm-hmm.
and then we sort of got to eat it. It took a long time to eat dinner.
It wasn't very warm by the time we finished it. It was kind of interesting too. We actually rented coaches, so the people would show up horse-drawn coaches and get off.
We did,
like the Moorheads and the Bassetts and so on, and they would go in. That home was the place to go if you got an invitation to the MacGuffin home in the 1880s, 1890s. Boy, you were living high.
That was the entertainment in the town.
Yeah. And, we were honored to be able to do that. It took a little leg pulling and so on, but we managed to pull that off and replicated the meal. We actually replicated the music that was played on that piano. We had a professor from UTEP that played the piano come in and play the songs. We divvied up some cigars and had some brandy. It was a fun day.
I don't think you lit the cigars in the house, did you?
No, we didn't light them up.
No. But, I mean, the whole thing was that what we did in that reenactment was amazing. Mm-hmm. Six Guns and Shady Ladies. Goes commercial, or not? Maybe that's not the right word. But you went legitimate. You're no longer killing people.
Yeah, the Shady Ladies didn't show up.
Well, they were there, but they dressed up better.
That's right.
Or they dressed up, shall we say, more formal.
Well, they purdied up.
But the point is, the MacGuffin home was a big deal.
Yeah.
And Joseph MacGuffin put the house there. He had orchards there,
mm-hmm.
and it was adjacent MacGuffinsville, which basically was his father's establishment, right?
His father's property. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that actually MacGuffinsville was a location of Fort Bliss at one point.
It was, yes.
And so this is what 10 blocks away, but still on the property.
Yeah, they were saying 10 blocks east of there is where Fort Bliss was at MacGuffinsville.
And so at one point, Joseph did a smart thing. They had built a big acequia mm-hmm. on the south side of his property, and that was taking water from the Rio Grande to way down toward Isleta.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, it formed as a better dam to save his property when the Rio Grande flooded.
Mm-hmm.
It would come up against that acequia and stop.
Acequia Madre is what it was called.
Madre?
Yeah, the mother of acequias.
If you don't know what that means, it's a ditch where you put water in it.
Yeah, irrigation ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was used mainly for plants, for farms, orchards, things like that.
Yeah, the Tiguas were very mm-hmm. good at that, and they had to get the water down there. And so somehow somebody engineered that thing, and it turned out great.
It did.
And it goes under El Paso and downtown El Paso in several places.
It kind of branched off in El Paso in a few different directions. It went right across Utah Street, South Utah Street, and some of the homes of the ladies were a little bit on the north side. The more exclusive ones on the south side, it started to get the less exclusive businesses of ill repute.
I see. But the thing is that MacGuffin home was a centerpiece, not only in the people. I mean, you know, Joseph was mayor. I think he had four different terms.
Yes.
And his wife was the belle of the city. I mean, Ms. Entertainment.
Eugenia? Yeah.
Octavia.
Oh, yeah, Octavia. I'm thinking of Schuster.
This is Octavia. And they got the street named after her mm-hmm. right there, so you know what street you're on. But the thing about MacGuffin home, it was a fascinating old house. And that's kind of also what helped save it. It's a very good example of territorial architecture. And the fact that they built it like they did, the last wing that's now the front wing, that's the last one they built. They did. They were pretty good on that one. It looks like a real structure that they thought out going in.
Mm-hmm.
When you get inside there, you find different levels and different places and
realize wood creaking.
Yeah. They kludged this place together.
The canvas roof.
But I mean, the canvas roof is there because it's actually an adobe roof.
Yeah.
And the adobe dirt would fall down into the house, So they strung canvas underneath the ceilings to catch all the dirt. I guess every once in a while they would have to get up there and take that down.
You'd think so.
And put the adobe back. I don't know. I mean, what a way to live. And their air conditioning was basically open the door.
Yeah.
Open the door.
Well, they laid it out in such a way that it would catch the majority of the winds or the breezes when they flowed. So they'd open the transoms and the wind would go through there. And to, you know, that technology back in those days, they took advantage of whatever they could. You know, they would have the windows not facing where the sun sets because it's so warm, those kinds of things. You know, and if you look at the schools and so on that they have built back in the early 1900s, they had the high ceilings, and they would keep the air flowing that way. And then we came in years later and brought the ceilings down low and had to put air conditioning in because it was just getting too warm.
And in Montgomery, it's an unusual place in many ways, but it's become more unusual
because
they did air condition the whole building, but you'll never see a duct.
That's true.
Except under the floor because all the duct work is run outside under the sidewalk and then it enters the house where it needs to.
That's part of the requirement for the historic status,
right,
too.
You've got to keep the building hidden. Intact and not hurt it, but let's keep it cool.
Modern things that you would have seen.
And also the whole idea of adobe, I mean, it would absorb the heat during the day and release it at night, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All right, taking a break here. We got Mr. Andrew J. Polk in there doing the buttons and such. Thank you for doing that, sir. And the whole button business, he does this Monday through Friday on KTSM 690. And he does so, Talk El Paso, 4 to 5 p.m.
Yes.
Thank you kindly for pushing our buttons. Was that a bell? There's a weak bell
this morning.
Yeah, we had a lot of people really love that bell when we sold it last September, but that's a different matter.
Yeah. And when we come back, I have a question that needs to be answered. So.
Sure.
Or I answered it, but I wanted to put it on air. So.
You have questions from Facebook?
Yes.
And that's El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook.
That's right.
Take a look at there and see what you think here. We'll take a break here. Back in a moment.
If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
Let radio advertising keep your business top of mind with customers all summer long. Visit iHeartAdBuilder.com to get your business on the radio quickly and easily. You can even make your own radio ad. Just answer a few questions and we'll do the rest. Sign up today at iHeartAdBuilder.com.
Have you been putting off life insurance for a while? With the long application process, medical exams, and blood tests, it's no wonder you put it off. It can seem so confusing, expensive, and time-consuming. But Ethos is a new way to buy life insurance. Ethos is built with you in mind. Instead of a medical exam, you only have to answer a few health questions. Our application is 100% online and can be done in about 10 minutes. You might even get same-day coverage. At Ethos, we match you with the right policy and the right price from top-rated carriers, with no medical exams and no blood tests. Now you can spend less time sorting through confusing paperwork and more time with the loved ones you want to protect. Go to ethoslife.com today to apply in minutes. That's ethoslife.com. Ethos Technologies, Inc. operates in some states as Ethos Life Insurance Services. Not available in all states.
One-on-One with Susan Eisen.
I was born in El Paso, and it's always been my home. Get to know us. We'll be your most trusted resource for buying jewelry and for all your jewelry needs.
When it comes to a jeweler you can trust, visit SusanEisen.com. One-on-One with Susan Eisen.
It takes me hundreds of hours each year for my continuing education on grading and pricing diamonds, and our focus is on providing value for you.
When it comes to the best diamond advice, visit SusanEisen.com.
Staples Connect has the tech you need to work and learn from home. Now Apple AirPods are just $129 and AirPods Pro are only $199. That's $50 off. In-store only. Offer N65. Limit 2. Explore at your local Staples or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store.
Since the COVID-19 pandemic, Asian Americans have faced an alarming rise in hate incidents. Many of the victims are also some of the most vulnerable and defenseless. So what can you do to help? One way is through bystander intervention. By using tools such as Distract, Delegate, Delay, Direct, and Document, you can help diffuse a situation before it escalates into violence. We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. Let's start today. Learn more at advancingjustice.org.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We just talked about McGoffin Home. They will give you a tour down there. Call them up. They do some appointments, and also they may have some walk-ins, but you have to find out by asking them. Call up Gloria Garza, Visitor Relations Rep, McGoffin Home State Historic Site. That's at 1120 McGoffin Avenue. Their number, 533-5147.
Well, I want to remind everyone to support our show advertisers, and that's Pepe's Restaurant in Canutiu is open for in-house dining.
Let's go there.
Yeah, we're going to go there after lunch, after the show.
After lunch.
For in-house dining, to-go and catering, or even have their food shipped off to friends or relatives back east. They're located at 6761 Donovan Drive, and it is home of the one and only margarita. For more information, call Pepe's at 877-2152. Now call 588-1850 for Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. Patrick is an excellent top sales realtor and has an great inventory of nice homes for sale and for rent. Again, his number is 588-1850. And we always like to welcome our newest sponsors, which is State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson. He's like a good neighbor, but with a better phone number.
I like that.
You like that one. Yes, you came up with that one.
I wrote that one.
I know you wrote that one. Okay, call Ralph at 915-581-0000.
Zero?
Zero, yes. Looking for a rental need, someone to manage your rental properties? Then you need to talk to one of the, I can't even read. Back up here. Get that.
Call Ray.
You need to clean my glasses. Look, call team members from Ray's Monterey Asset Management on their, and you can visit their website, which is m1ep.com. And also you can give them a call at 592-4549. And Mission Del Rey still has a lot of great gifts for Father's Day. Plus, with their spring walk-in sale, you can get some great bargains. Everything has got 20% off store-wide. And just mention the El Paso History Radio Show at checkout for your discount. And kids, take Dad to visit the Mission Del Rey's Old West Town. Perfect place to have fun with your dad, have pictures taken. It's just a great thing to do. Their address is 1421 North Lee Trevino Drive, Suite A7, or call them at 440-2140.
How would you call those chairs you sit in to take your picture at
they're
the
bar? They're bar stools.
Well, no, but they're big butt chairs.
What they did was they took old tractor seats. And they took those and attached them to a
And they painted the back of them like it's a woman's britches.
Yeah, and they added on and different ironwork on them. Yeah, they're big dishes.
That's an interesting place out there.
Yes.
All right, moving on here to the rest of our lives. We have a caller on the phone here, a caller named Frank. Frank, you got a question about a restaurant, right?
Yeah. Back in the days in the 70s when I was living here, there was a German restaurant off of Montana. I used to get together with the car dealers and everything else at 5:30 in the morning, and I cannot remember the name of that darn restaurant at all. It was something Hoffinghaus or...
Wait a minute. Are you talking about what became Carlos and Mickey's?
Maybe.
That started out as a German restaurant.
Yeah, that was close to Throwbridge, I think it was.
Exactly.
Early in the morning, I had a manufacturing company here, a wig manufacturing company here many years ago. I used to get together with all of these bright guys and discuss things.
All right, Frank, this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask the public if they can help us with the name of that restaurant.
It may have
been what became Carlos and Mickey's, the building, or that may have been built separately, because I know Carlos and Mickey's was built as a restaurant by one of those car dealers because he was hungry at noon. And that's what happened. And then I think the different management came in with different kind of food. Somebody knows that answer.
Okay, I really would appreciate it. It's driving me crazy. I came back to El Paso about 4 years ago, and I was hoping to be able to go to my old restaurant.
All right, we got another caller coming in here. So put yourself on hold, or I'm going to cut you off, but listen on the radio. We'll tell you in a minute who won.
The restaurant was Heinz Restaurant.
Heinz?
Heinz.
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 As in ketchup.
I'm listening. Thank
all right.
You.
I'm gonna,
thank
I'm
you. Take care, Frank.
Thanks
bye
a lot,
bye.
Frank. All right, Andrew, tell me as soon as you can who you got there on the phone here. I think it was something else. Because that Carlos and Mickey's was, I believe,
But Carlos and Mickey's, were they on Montana at one time?
No, they're not.
Because they're down off of, or they're up off of Montana.
They're on that side street. Emma's got an answer. Emma, what is it? What do you got?
Well, this is Emma with Houston Park Association, the downtown neighborhood issue. Anyway, I think it's Heinz Restaurant.
Heinz.
Two Heinz.
Okay, Frank, we're going with Heinz. I don't know what it was. But Emma, all right, Emma, what else is on your mind?
Well, I happen to live near Octavia Street, so now I know why Octavia Street is named after, what is it?
Octavia. Mrs. McGoffin.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you have Bassett Street down there. Okay, here's one for
you. No, I'm near the Baptist Church.
Okay, I got one for you. What? Who was Myrtle? There's a Myrtle Street down there.
Yeah.
Okay, who was Myrtle?
I don't remember that one.
I believe that was O.T. Bassett's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
And so, how that goes down there. So there. All right, Andrew, we got to take a break here
at
some point.
I love the program that you're going all those history because sometimes we forget. But
oh, yeah.
Awesome. I really enjoy your program.
Well, thank you very much. And with Bernie and me sitting here with Melissa, we basically we have a list of things we're looking at doing, and we just sort of stream conscious around them because we know enough of the history to make sense out of it. But then when we hit something like what was the restaurant on Montana Avenue, we don't know that one.
I wonder if it's in that book.
It wasn't Heinz Restaurant then?
We think it was.
Yeah.
I think it probably was.
We have two votes for Heinz.
Yeah.
Several votes.
Several votes, okay.
So that's where we're going with that,
okay,
Emma.
We're going with Heinz.
Emma.
Great ketchup.
Also, I want you to mention Houston Park. A lot of people don't know why Houston Park was named Houston Park.
Where is it?
I'm the president of that park.
Where is it?
It's across on Montana, across from the First Baptist Church.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a biggie, and I presume it was Sam Houston, no?
I imagine so.
Yeah, it was Sam Houston, and it was designed by Trost and Trost.
Trost designed the park. Yeah. All right, Emma, you win the prize, and frankly, there's no prize. Sorry about that. But thank
That's
you for...
all right. I won before. Now, I want you to talk about the history, because we used to have some Greek columns right there, and somebody took them off. It was a beautiful, an outside...
Gotta run, Emma. There's the music. We'll see you after the news. And here comes another call's coming in here. We'll talk to you guys. See ya.
Victor.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita, and by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
As a marketer, you want to reach everyone, adults, teens, millennials, but it's not like these groups all hang out at the same place, right? Actually, wrong. They're all right here listening to radio commercials just like this one. Radio ads connect with 93% of Americans every week. That's more than Google, more than Facebook, more than TV. In fact, radio reaches 20% more millennials than TV. Want more of the people you want to talk to all in one place? Visit iHeartAdvertising.com and get AMFM radio working for you. That's iHeartAdvertising.com.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text LIST to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text LIST to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text LIST to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals.
Standing up for what's right, helping out when things go wrong, seeking the truth, and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. A federal judge tosses out California's ban on assault-style weapons. The judge prevents Californians from owning weapons commonly allowed in other states. He issued a permanent injunction to keep the law from being enforced. The Justice Department is warning the nation's top CEOs to prepare for an increase in ransomware attacks.
Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco warned of an exponential increase of these attacks while speaking to CNBC. She said recent high-profile hacks of Colonial Pipeline and meat processor JBS are reflective of everyday intrusions. Upon entering office earlier this year, Monaco issued a 120-day review of cybersecurity challenges the department faces. I'm Brian Shook.
Former President Trump says the decision to keep him off Facebook is an insult. Trump